Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Nice right hand.
Big right from Emmers.
Jamal, pretty boy Emmers!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. My Jimmy Bird is all flying around spreading his comedy and hopefully not diseases, but I have the brand new UFC Hall of Fame class of 2023, the legend. May I say legend, Jens Pover.
I'm glad to be back.
I wish I had an applause button. I'm just going to give one of these claps. Can I tell you, and you know me by now, Jen, so you know I get a little emotional. Dude, why did you, don't get me all teary in front of my kid.
Hey, listen,
there's certain things, military guys coming home, animals walk, when you walk through the door and they don't see you for a while, they get all excited. They gets me a little like mushy on the inside. When I saw, when you realizing, I feel like playing it now, but let us recap. When I seen your reaction to getting in the Hall of Fame, and I'm assuming it was your son that you were hugging.
Yes, honey.
It was your son. What a cute kid. Yeah. Your son you brought in, he actually came to you and started hugging you because he saw how emotional you got. And I believe there wasn't a dry eye in the house. I mean, it got me all like... it was a little dusty up in here, Jen. Yeah,
sniffles.
But congratulations, man. I want to know what they did. A great job. Was your son in on it? He knew.
Well, I got set up. It was, so you know me, I'm long story longer, but yes. They had done the where are they now was the first thing that got this whole thing set up. Because before they would ask about, you know, hey, would you want to do the where are they now? And I always said no. And like, well, why? I was like, because I don't like where I'm at. And I don't like where I'm at. No, I don't want to do this. But this time around, they said, hey, would you do that? Where are they now? I was like, you know what? Yeah. You know what? I will. I like where I'm at in life. I like everything that I'm doing. And it helped me promote the Twitch stream, you know, the UFC. I really like where I'm at. So now we go a couple weeks later. And here we go. We're going to do the watch along. And the first thing Snoo tells me is, hey, the sponsors want you to change your hat. What? They want you to wear the UFC hat. I had on my son's wrestling, big game wrestling hat. Change the hat. I'm like, all right. And then I had this backdrop. Now it says the UFC behind me. And he's like, the sponsors want to change it so you have the UFC. I'm like, these sponsors? Who are these sponsors? Well, they want you to go full screen when the pay-per-view starts. And I was like, okay, because they want to see your reaction. So I'm thinking, all right, maybe they're going to do the whole, where are they now? Like, Jen's going to do the where are they now? So I had no clue.
Oh,
then my wife texts me and says, hey, your son has a project and he has to film you at work. And I was like, okay. And since he interviewed me just a couple weeks before, I was like, all right, no problem. So he's sitting over there with his camera. And I remember telling him, I go, hey, here in a second, if you want to start this, I go, I'm supposed to react to something, flip that camera on and then you can catch when this whole, you know, because when the main card starts.
Yeah.
So there he was sitting there watching, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there, and then I see the Jose Aldo thing play, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe that's what I'm reacting to. I'm like, yeah, you know, and then all of a sudden, then they said Pioneer, and that's when I started to shut up.
That's so I'm like, great.
Shut the F up. And then it just stunned me. And then, so it was basically, it was painted perfectly. Brian Butler, that I love that man, the manager, he had everything set up and he's, you know, he's talking to my son. Okay. Can he do this? My wife had to go to work. So Carson's over there and he's getting him ready. And so, yeah, good prank, everyone. I appreciate you got me. You got me. I was caught off guard.
That you could tell you, it was great. It was great. The emotion, because you can't fake. You're not that good. If you, hey, if you were acting, man, get in Hollywood, because that was acting. That was raw emotion.
It was.
You know, it was like I think Jose Aldo was expecting it when they announced him in. Well, yeah. Even DC cried a little bit when he. That's a beautiful thing, man.
DC reacted, but you know the thing with this one was not chaos. It just, I think. It was a long, you know, because all these years I've had people, hey, congratulate you, Hall of Fame, and this and that. I'm like, no, I'm not in Hall of Fame. In fact, we have a clip where 2 hours before that happened, somebody had asked me in chat, hey, you're in the Hall of Fame, right? I'm like, no, not me. And they're like, what? I go, nah, I just haven't done enough. My exact words, I go, obviously, I didn't do enough. But, and I was okay with where I was in life that I'm like, I'm okay with this. So when people say it's about time, I say, no, it's the perfect time. This was literally the perfect timing. But all these years, I can't thank people enough. Every year, they're like, this is your year. And I'm like, don't, I'm okay. You know, don't do it. But, you know, so it had a, I think this is kind of how the Hall of Fame works, right? You wait a while and it just kind of catches you off guard. You never expect it, you know?
Man, I didn't expect it. I wish it kind of got me out of left field when I was in there. And I'll tell you, I feel better. I feel better about me being in there now knowing that you're in there. I always knew you needed to be in there. And everybody did. And it's like, man, even when I got in there, like, people were like, yeah, that's great. What about Jens? I'm like, oh, I ain't arguing that. Fuck. I felt, now that you're in there, I'm like, all right. They want to do what they can, but now at least I can be like, all right, well, look, man, I'm in there with the fucking greats. I don't want to be in there when I feel somebody's more deserving. And dude, it's a no-brainer.
No, that means a lot.
You're a no-brainer. I mean, the stuff that you did in your heyday, dude, you were the man. You
were in the class. And
people, you know? I told them to throw all these kids, listen now, man, throw your name in throw Jens Pover, Little Evil, in that UFC fight pass, and they're in for a treat. I was there when you threw that left hook to break John Lewis's jaw. I was there when you fought Dennis Holman to fucking 25 minutes. Of course, we went over to pay-per-view, but listen.
You remember that?
I was on the card. I fought on this card.
You were on there, yeah.
We all fought over there. It was UFC
33.
That's right. And it was.
I hate putting numbers on it.
Oh. You know what's crazy? It was really, and I don't know how you felt at the time, but it was literally the end of September. It was right after September 11th.
I know exactly what happened. I was scared to death to fly. At that point, there were issues. Like, I was like, I don't know if I want to get on a plane after something like that happening. And I was like, I'm already afraid of flying. I remember there was a big issue. And I was like, man, I don't know if I want to be on this plane. I wasn't very comfortable. You know, I was like, I don't know if I want to be flying right now.
It was right after 9/11, and it was a very, very tense time in the world. And I remember that was one of the few times that Longo didn't get on a plane. His kids were young, and he goes, look, man, my wife's not letting me go. I can't go. And I was fighting Eve Edwards. I'm like, dude, I need you. What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys got better stand up than Shoney. What are you doing? But
it is crazy. Everybody was afraid to fly at that time. You go back, it was different.
It was a weird time in the world, man. It was. But I'll tell you, that was a victorious night. And that night in Vegas, it was almost like a ghost town. Very strange time. But it was a very strange time. People now, it's hard to explain that Vegas was like basically, it felt like a ghost town. The whole, even in New York felt like a ghost town. Forget about that. I mean,
New York, everybody was there. Was scared of where they were going to go next.
What is the new world now? What's going to happen now?
It's so weird. It's so weird you bring that up. But yeah.
yeah, man, once again, congratulations. I'm very, very, very happy for you. And I'm also very happy that you're like, look, man, this happened at the right time because I'm at a very good place in my life. Like you feel secure with where you're at.
Yeah, sir.
Great to me, man. I envy your fucking, your your Twitch work.
I love it. Thank you.
Because I'm a video game guy, and I'm a this and that. One day I will join you on there.
You got to, because I know I want you. I'm trying to get you. You got to do it. I want you to do a watch along with me. You got to watch the fights with me. I got to get you on a watch along.
It might be something in talks for that, Jens. We're gonna talk more.
I hope so, because I'm getting the you know, we got to leverage this out a little bit. I'm up there.
Yeah. What do you mean? With what now?
No idea. You got to come to my house and visit one time. I'm always visiting your house. You got to come visit my house one time. You know what I mean?
You mean by Zoom? Because I'll jump.
Yeah, bro. You got to jump on a
plane now. Where are you? Hey, Jens, where do you live now?
I'm in Iowa. I got no desire to leave Iowa. I love it out here.
Well, dude, you get me visiting you over there, it'd be like the sequel to My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, no, we'll just get you to Zoom. We'll Zoom you. I don't need to do that. I'll come visit you because you got better food. You got better food plots around you that I want to go visit. So I'd go out there. If it was a person to person, I'm heading to you. Believe that.
You know what? You're darn right. You're darn right that we have good food around here. And I've been a maniac lately. Hey, listen, I want to recap some fights. I want to talk to you about. We'll talk about a bunch of fights. All right. And then later on, remind me, cause you know, I got ADD. I want to talk to you about Tough, because I know we both coached on Tough.
And we just watched your season.
Which season?
Six, where you coached.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. We're up because we do Tough. So every Tuesday we've been watching Tough. I started from one. When all the way through, we just finished yours. We're just starting, or we're just finishing up season 8 right now. So we were just going through it, man. You were having some time. You were having a good time out there coaching at the beginning. You was in control, and it was a lot of fun to watch your mind games. And you were getting under Matt's skin. It was something else. Yeah, it was Matt on Matt going. You know.
Yeah. What did you think? You know what? Let's talk about it now.
Okay.
We're gonna get plenty of time for Aaron. We're gonna talk about Aaron Blanchfield, who I'm just so impressed with.
Oh.
But let's talk about Tough. What was your experience on Tough? Because you had that big rivalry with BJ Penn, and then you were on Tough with a guy, and then you had one of the guys on his team that you actually fought, which Joe.
He knocked me out, Joe Lazone,
and it made it awkward because Joe Lazone, when he did, you know, have that fight with you, and that was your first time back in the UFC for ages, and it was a homecoming, but yet. Oh, man, this unknown kid takes out Jens. Well, that unknown kid, who knows, he might end up in the UFC Hall of Fame.
He ended up being a savage, which helped 100%. Me a lot. But when he first did it,
better, you know,
100.
And again, you know, fights work. The guy, he caught you. Doesn't mean he'll caught you. We'll caught you the next time. But the point is, how was your mind going in there? And talk about mind games on your season of The Ultimate Fighter. And what season was that again?
5.
That was right before mine. That was right before 6.
Right before you. That's what I mean, yeah.
That's so crazy. But what really happened, and I want, when you know, again, everybody listening can watch this on UFC Fight Pass, was very interesting. You want to talk about mind games. And I want to tell the audience, when you have to pick teams, BJ Penn did something kind of genius. It could be called Dickie, but... You know, and I love BJ, but back then, man, he was hardcore. He goes, look, anybody wants to be on my team, you raise your hand and I'll put you on my team. I don't want anybody who else to be on his team. So he right away raised the stakes, and then you stuck too. You're like, I don't want anybody to raise their hand. Like it was a true mind F.
We threw down. He said, if you want to be on my team and have nothing to do with Jens Pulver, raise your hand. Oh. And I figured everybody would just raise their hand and I was going to pack up my stuff and leave. I was so pissed off. They caught me. I had my zipper down and they're like, if you see it on the TV and I'm zipping it back up, I could give y'all what you could bite and you know what I mean? And this and that. I was so mad. And then Dana's like, well, nope, we got to go one and one. I go, no. Everybody that raised their hand, see, at first, Nate had raised his hand and Manny had raised their hand, but then they didn't understand what was going on. Because, like, everybody raised their hand, like, yeah, of course I want to be on your team. You're BJ Penn. But then you want to have nothing to do with Jens Pulver and totally, you know what I mean? They're like, okay, wait, I don't get what's happening here. You know what I mean? So then they put their hands down, but a lot of them still kept them up. You know what I mean? As they kept listening, but like Nate and Manny and them, they put their hand down. They raise it because they're like, I mean, who wants to be on my team? I'd be like, yeah, I'd love to be on. I would have raised my hand. Of course I want to be on your team, BJ. But then you want to have nothing to do with Jens Pulver. You're like, oh, I don't know if I want to get in. Like Nate said, I'm not trying to get in the middle of this. Yeah. And it was Corey Hill, may he rest in peace. He's looking directly at me. And he's going, I'm with you. I got you. He's the only reason why I stayed there. I got goosebumps. And that's the reason why I picked him first, because he's looking right at me. He goes, you and me, we'll do it. He goes, I'll beat everybody in here. He's like, I'll beat them all. And I love this fire. I was like looking at him going, all right, I'll stay here and I'll do it. So basically it was whoever had their hands down, you're on my team. And whoever had your hands up, you're on their team.
Jens, I'm glad you brought that up. Not trying to get you emotional. We're both emotional guys. If we both start crying on here, it'll probably get some hits.
You're emotional. Your season was emotional. Don't give me that.
I get emotional. But you brought up Corey Hill. Now, Corey Hill he's a fighter that passed away. Do you know how he – I'm sure you know how he passed away. How did he pass away?
Pneumonia, I believe.
It was pneumonia. It? Something crazy like that.
Complications with pneumonia, I believe.
Yeah.
A producer, he's the one who broke his leg.
He's the first guy to have that in the UFC. He's the first guy to have that shin break. What happened to Weidman and Connor, and he was the first guy to have that. Hey, our producer, do me a favor, my favorite Ginger. You do look up the reason of how the
complications from bronchitis is what led to the collapsed lung. Yeah.
All right. Well, he was a very tall lightweight. Very tall. And I remember he came and he stayed with you getting ready for the finale or something. Yep. Isn't that correct?
Yes, he did. I love
him. So you were pretty close with Corey.
Yeah, we were. I loved him to death. I'll never forget him, but for what he did for me when we did that, you know, you have that one that you bond with, because in that at that team picking, that's he looked at me and that's we literally bonded just eye contact. And I'm like, I'm sticking with you. And then of course I find out later he's had no fights. So as we get the whole team together, that was the one thing I loved about when you were kind of strategizing in the beginning. We did the same thing. But I involved the entire team. We all made the choice. I made no choice on my own. We all got together. We all realized, all right, well, Corey, we find out Corey's never had a fight. So we need to get him. We need to train. We got to get him some time to train with everybody, sharpen him up. And so everybody picked who they wanted to fight, and we just rolled with it.
I remember him. He's going to fight somebody named Gabe Rudiger. And I remember him just barking at him.
Yeah, who?
Yeah. I loved it.
I don't like you.
It.
You don't like me.
he had a bit of a, he had a good sense of humor. And I don't know about you, Jens, but we've been around a long time, man. We became the OGs in this sport.
Yeah.
And I look at, like, you know, cause on my, I don't know. Sometimes I tell my wife, I feel like I have survivor's guilt. Like I look around and I got my beautiful wife. I got my three daughters. I got my school. I'm still doing this with the UFC. I'm still, people came and went and I'm still here somehow. I'm doing, looking for a fight next month. I say lucky. Every time I say lucky, my wife goes, no, you deserve it. I go, I'm not saying I don't deserve it, but I'm saying I look at my life. I'll look at your life, Jens. And I'm like, and I'm happy for you. But then I look at a lot of guys that are in this game. We just mentioned Corey Hill, who passed on. On my season, we have guys like War Machine, who made bad decisions.
Oh, man.
And that guy, War Machine, I saw, and listen, what he did was horrendous, and you cannot defend any of that. But I saw a kid back then that needed the right kind of people around him.
Yeah.
Show me your friends. You show me who you are. So it's like you have to be careful. Like the directions you pick, because even Phil Baroni, the guy who was a Long Island guy.
Isn't that weird? It just started piling up with Phil.
Now,
now
in Mexico, he's under charges of, horrible things. So it's just, I don't know. I look around and I'm very thankful, you know, about where I'm at. And I'm thankful for the UFC. I'm thankful to still be here, you know. But again, like I think of this, I think of the Corey Hills and I think of the guys that made – on my shoot, man, in this game, there's guys that just, they don't look past the fighting.
100%. And
if you want to start to look past the fighting when the fighting's over, it's a little too late. Like then you're like, because then I have the other guys that they didn't go the way they wanted. And they go from a very exciting life to, all right, now if I don't now live in paycheck to paycheck, which I'm not judging anybody, but for the new guys getting into the game, just think about it. Think about it. There's something to be said about not having a net because it gives you a focus where you have to succeed, but be smart about it. Like, you know what I mean? Put a little bit of money away each month, a little bit, $100, $200 is not going to kill you. If you put that into some kind of mutual fund or something that will grow over time if you don't even look at it. I'm not a financial advisor. Find somebody who is. But I'm just saying there's ways to watch out for your future where if you're fighting for, say, a long career, which is 10 to 15 or longer years, you'll have something when it's said and done, at least a little nest egg that grows, and you can have something there for you when it's done. I don't know. I'm kind of just going off, but
no,
you know
what I get what you say. Well, because we have that question all the time, and you know, I want to talk about Chandler and McGregor getting ready to do this show, but really quick, what I tell people is this: is you know, we learned this, Matt, a long time ago, and I'm sure people told you just like they told me, hey, you got to plan for the end. You know, don't forget to plan for the end, but you're like, you're just getting started. Like, I'm not planning for 40. I'm 22 years old. I'm not even thinking about that. Hey, what I not, you know, and what I tell people is this: at the end of the day, you just got to find, what are you passionate about? You weren't always wanting to be a fighter. You weren't always going to be, what else do you love? And what's keeping you from now diving into that? Spend your time doing what you love. You and I both, I love talking. I love doing it. And I'm very thankful I got this UFC stream, life-saving, but I love talking. I love being able to break down fights. I love doing interviews. I mean, I love it. You're very good in front of the camera. You're very good. Aww. You got a catching personality. It's fun to listen to you. You're funny, man. I know you swat away, but you're funny, you know, but that's the one thing is, you know, but go do what you love. Cause even if you have all the money in the world, if you're not finding your passions, you're still unhappy. You know what I mean? And that's one thing. Find what you love and what's keeping you from doing it. You wanted to be a cook? Go be a cook. Go do whatever you thought you wanted to do because you had enough craziness in your eyes to get in that cage and fight. Why can't you go do whatever it is you wanted to do and start and learn?
You got one life to make it happen. You got one shot. So what 100%. Are you going to do? Be miserable? So plan for it. That's what I try to tell these kids.
Do what you love. I mean, there's things that you got, and that's why I made sure what I'm doing now until this brain quits working, which obviously I won't care what I'm doing at that point. I'm going to get to do this and break down fights and pass on knowledge. And people, the best part is people still will come in and give me their time. You know what I mean? And that's the best part, chat and stuff like that. But speaking of time, I mean, think about that. Think about Chandler and McGregor. How wild. Because you know how when you've got, how do you put this? You didn't necessarily get along with your rival coach, with the other coach. And I know damn good and well, I didn't get along. I love BJ now, don't get me wrong. But at the time, I hated him. And it made it for the show was fun, but there were times when it really pissed me. I mean, pissed me off. Yeah. And I'm sure you had the same thing going. Now, what do you think? How do you think these two are going to do it?
There's some stuff going on now. I don't know. There's rumors. I don't know.
Like changed up. Fighting, yeah, some fighters rumors or something.
That, you know, Khan has always got, you know, a buzz around him, no matter what, for good or for bad, usually for bad. He is the notorious. Yeah, of course. So, you know, we heard he wanted to make some cuts. One of them was
cut people who made the team to bring in his own.
Yeah, but you know what's rough about that? Now, I want to know how that worked, but this is what's upsetting about that is if he went in saying, look, I'm going to go on the show. I want to bring some fighters. Arena.
Yes.
That's understandable.
That's okay.
All right. Well, let's get a deal with Connor and him, get some Irish fighters or whatever. But to have guys get that, listen, Jen.
That's horrible. No, that's Jen, horrible. Jen, that's
the
show,
horrible. Not only was I, we were talking about me as a coach. The one season I did, I was a participant.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't be here right now talking to you if it was not for the Ultimate Fighter. The Ultimate Fighter season 4, it gave me a shot at the title, which who knows if I would have got. I don't know if I would have fought my way there. You know, I was kind of undersized for 170, but, you know, I mean, stuff happened, but I won that tournament. People got to see my personality, which led to other things, which I still do now, like Dana White looking for a fight and some fun stuff like this. UFC. Yep. But it also gave me that shot at the title, and, you know, it just changed my life. So it is a life-changing experience, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that. So no,
100%.
Connor, to take away three guys' hopes and dreams. Now, you could say, well, they could maybe get called again, or they say, what are they doing this a season with this weight class again? I don't know when. Maybe never. Maybe not for how many years when these guys are past where they're peaking. No.
It's heartbreaking,
wrong.
Really.
It's fucking wrong. Listen.
Well, think about how excited they got because you got to get ready because you're going to be gone for 3 months. You got to say goodbye to your job. You got to say goodbye to your house, to your family. You got to pack up. You're out fired up. You're ready to go. And these kids literally showed up and just got the worst. I heard about that. And I was like, oh man, there's no way that's got to be true. But
hey man, listen.
By the way, guess what? Ha ha. Nope. You're gone.
Dude,
it's like you get to do the, I almost made it. It's like, come on.
This is what I'm going to say about it. Like, for better or for worse, Conor gets, he gets headlines and he gets news. I think that's disgusting what he did. I think it's disgusting. But guess what? I kind of want to see how it goes down. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm being honest. I don't like Conor McGregor. I just don't like him. I'm going to be honest. Don't get me wrong. But yet, he gets, he still's got my money because I'll watch him. You know what I mean? I don't like his character so much. I'm more of a if there's you pick some people don't pick sides. They stay in the middle. I was like Khabib. I like the way Khabib carries himself and everything about the man. He's just that's the type of guy. You know, he does in the cage. Well, you want to do the talking? Let's talk now. I love all that shit. But so I was on Team Khabib for sure. That's just the way I am. But this guy does have a way of making you watch. This thing, I was looking forward to this. I am upset for these fighters. But yet it does kind of give a little buzz. It makes you kind of want to see how the shit went down. It's a hard thing to say because I am upset about the fighters. But
I
love
Conor. I think what he does, he's you have to have people like him. And, you know, and he's just, man, he's just so damn what he's done, how he's done it. And it's just that's the one thing, no matter maybe the way he goes about it, but Conor's going to do what Conor wants to do, you know? And it's just one of those things that it's like, I embrace it. I let too many other emotions get in the way. I let too many other opinions possibly judge and kind of make me move around and make me think. But Conor does what Conor does. And that's why Conor became Conor McGregor, you know? So it's for what he is, you know, I like him. I think it's definitely fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
You know, we talk about things like the Ultimate Fighter and stuff like that. Back to me coaching. There was a kid on there, Joe Scarola, right? He was one of my black belts who I ended up disassociating with.
Oh, you was mad at him. Hunter, man.
We'll talk about that. Let's talk about that a time. what the hell, man? We're bullshitting me and you. We're catching up. Plenty of time. So, and then we'll talk about, hey, listen, we're getting to Erin Blanchfield. I can't say enough. I don't want to get started because
she's a savage.
We're talking about that fight. I was so, darn do I love jiu-jitsu. But, so Joe Scarola. So, you know, they say things happen for a reason and this and that. You know, I felt at that time, I stand by my decision. Now, I was close to Joey. Joey kind of looked up to me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I had him in my, wedding, and he was like a little brother type, you know? And he was very good in jiu-jitsu. Very good. And you know, if you put him on pads and stuff, he didn't look bad. And he's a pretty boy. He's a good-looking kid. So, you know, I remember, there was some tryouts in the city, and I brought Joey, but we already had Luke Cuomo set for season 2. Yeah. We already sent Luke in, and Luke was going to do it. So I remember when I brought him down to Henzo's. There was, some tryouts for, the next one. I was there to help Dana, assist with it. And I brought Joey just for the fuck of it. And then Dana brings me in the back, and he goes, "Hey, man, who's the genius that put in that Luke Cuomo kid instead of this Joe Scarola?" And I told him, I go, "Dana, look, the kid looks good on the pads. He's a good-looking kid. Looks like he's out of a boy band. And he's very, very good in jiu-jitsu. But he's not a fighter. He's just not a fighter. He's just not, there'd be some sparring. He'd get hit and go, oh, my God.
He just likes the gym side of it.
You know that there's some guys that, you know, that is not made for the cage, you know?
100%.
And, you know, but it's not a dig. It just is what it is. So long story short, he ended up going on. But I told him, look, because I wasn't making the call for him. So another season, I put on Luke that season. Yeah. And Luke ended up getting to the finals with Joe Stevenson. Luke did great. And Luke was a total nerd. He was the weirdo of the season, but he did phenomenal.
Awesome. Yeah.
So Joey went on my season. He went up seasons later, he went on. And sure enough, we found out he's not a fighter. I mean, you know, gents, you could act it, you could fake it, you could wear a tap out shirt.
The beautiful thing is you're going to have to get in there at some point. And you're going to have to get in there.
It's the truth in the ring or the cage. That's you can't disguise it anymore. There's no disguising it. You can't. You can't fake it. Because now you got a guy trying to do bodily harm. So when he got out of there, and I knew it went down kind of the way it went down, he kind of, you know, there's always a way you could find a way out. He did. He put himself in a triangle and he got out of there. No offense to Mac Danzig. Mac Danzig's awesome. But you know, I knew Joey was kind of seeing that triangle coming. He was just like, all right, I'm out. Yep. So, but really got me upset about this was afterwards, what people don't realize, when you're in there as a participant, it's not fun if you're not a true fighter. And even if you are, it's rough. I looked at it as when I was in there as a, as a, as a gladiator training camp where I'm going to train when they twice a day. And when it's time to fight, I'm fighting. It was, I looked at it like that, which is what it was. But if you're there just to be, you know, getting some attention.
TV time. You
hate this ain't the real world. It is. Yeah. It's real. It is. But it's not the real world, man. Yeah. Look for a Big Brother type show to go on because this ain't for you. So I remember after he lost the fight, it's not fun in the house. So he wanted to go home because he had this girlfriend he's dating.
And I'm going to give you he was trying to leave right after.
I'm going
to
give you an update on him soon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, what he could have done and what I tried to do to save him at the time and save our relationship was have Joe Scarola help me teach these guys. Cause he
that's
was
right. You tried to keep on there. You tried to keep God. On there. That's right.
No, I thought it was very selfish when he still wanted to go home. So when he made that decision, it's not about making me look bad. It's about honoring your commitment. So I wiped my hands with him as a friend.
You booted him off. You booted him out of the gym. Instantly. You kicked him. Oh, you out did the public. Gym,
basically out of my life.
Yes, you did.
Know? And I didn't want to, but it was, I mean, look, because what happens when he took that spot, because this goes back to what Conor just did. When you take that spot or you take away somebody's spot from there, by him being on the show, wanting attention, because he knew what I knew deep down, you're taking somebody else's dream away.
Honored.
So by doing that, and then not at least, you're leaving me in the desert now with these guys. I had to coach these guys. So I made the right decision. So now let's fast forward years from now, because this was 2006.
Yeah.
And now here we are, 2023. I recently he became a success, and I'm happy for Joey. I am. Now, this is the thing. He's still with the same girl.
That's good.
So I don't regret a damn thing. I would make the same decision because, look, this is the thing. He was working behind the counter for me. He was working at my school teaching, signing people up, half the time, you know, cruising the internet for chicks or whatever he's doing. And he was taking it somewhat seriously, somewhat, but he was a buddy of mine. He was working behind the counter. When I got him out of my life, he was basically out on his own, you know. I felt bad about it, but it's something I had to do. It was like a love, like, look, man, you got to start making the right decisions. I'm not associating your name with mine after that. All right. So you got to right your wrong. And what he did was he bought into the franchise of, and I don't say it in a bad way, Gracie Baja, who has Gracie Baja Jiu-Jitsu schools. And he went under a friend of mine, Flavio Almeida, and he ended up getting his own Jiu-Jitsu school. And first it was in Long Island. And now he has a school in Jupiter, Florida. So if anybody's in Jupiter, Florida, and they want to train, he's a very, very good jiu-jitsu teacher, you know, and he made a success for himself. And like I said, he's still with the same girl. I don't believe he would have had the same success if me and him were now. He might have had a success with me, but this was a way of the world saying it's time for this kid to go on his own. And he
ended up working out.
And it ended up working out for him. So if people want to wonder what happened on season 6 with that guy, I'm friendly with him now. I just started following him on the Instagram, gave him a nice message.
He's teaching, that's good.
He's living a good life. I don't regret the decisions I made. He made the decisions. They were hard at the time. It might have been rough for him. He might have felt like it was awful, but he made right decisions after that. The kid is doing well.
Very good. I know we had to Google. Hey. We Googled a little bit every time as we're going through and we're recapping all these Ultimate Fighters. We'll Google how some of them are doing. So just on a short note. So I knew he stayed with this girl, but I didn't know what had just happened until now. So that's really cool.
Listen, this is flying. We got Jamal Emmers here. Let's get Jamal Emmers. He just won his fight versus Hussein Askubov. And, you know, that Askubov had a lot of hype behind him, man. He was like 23-0 or some shit. Did you know that?
I did. I didn't know he was tough. I didn't know he was. I don't know he did that far.
He was
undefeated, yeah.
I want to talk to Jamal.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Jamal!
Hey.
Nice to meet you, bro. This is Jens Pulver, UFC Hall of Famer. I love saying that. Jamal.
Good job out there, man. Great fight.
Hey, dude. First of all, nice to meet you, man, and congratulations.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you too. It's an honor. I'm actually been a big fan of both you guys, like, man, most of my life.
Awesome. How old are you now, Jamal?
I'm 33.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he might have been watching us when he was younger, when he was in school. Sure. Me and Jens are getting kind of old. We're getting kind of up. But we're both still playing video games, Jamal. We're going to get to know you a little bit. But I said congratulations. This guy you fought, there's something about fighting a guy that's undefeated, has a lot of hype behind him. I believe 23-0. I'm not pulling that out of my ass, Jamal. The guy had an undefeated record. And, man, I'm big on the underdog. You know that. Yeah. I didn't walk in that cage like you were the underdog at all. From your walkout to the first exchange, you were just on point. What is going on? How did the ship get straight after, you know, some tough fights, competitive, good fights with good guys, but everything just seemed to click that night. Talk to me.
It just started from just, you know, I believe the trials and tribulations of life. I just broke it down to just, it's only 15 minutes, right? That's nothing. That's not even a whole TV show. So I just broke it down to 15 minutes. I didn't make the moment too big, but I knew how serious it was. So I just panned out, you know, just focus on what I needed to focus on and just got the job done. That's what I think helped me feel more comfortable going into the cage.
It's crazy how much we put into 15 minutes, right? 15 minutes, months. And I know what I hate, and I'm sure you guys hate this too, when some of your buddies or somebody off, man, I'd like to get paid for 15 minutes. Nah, dude, 15 minutes? Put that on 2 months of fucking training. They think that the work is there. Are you getting paid for 15 minutes of work? No, man. The work is done by the time you get in there. Now it's time to fucking let it be shown what you've been doing for the last two. You're getting paid for that last two plus months, you know?
Right.
Now, and so when you had to fight, again, this guy's undefeated. You were coming off, I believe, in the Pat Sabatini fight.
Yes.
Yes. So, hey, man, we gotta get the monkey off our back, and now we're fighting an undefeated fighter. What happened when you got offered with this? Was it just, I'm ready, or?
Yeah. I figured being in the UFC, you're going to get tough fights regardless. So it doesn't really matter. Like, undefeated guy that has a few losses, everybody's in the UFC. They high level guys. So it really didn't matter. I was like, I was just happy I got a fight. I was sitting for so long. I'm like, fine, I'll fight him. Like, nobody else wants to fight him, I'm sure. I'll fight him.
Okay, because I have a question with that, if I may. Because when I sat back and I watched this, Jamal, the one thing that stuck in my head, and I have it in big capital letters and everything, is great range control. You controlled the range. And I was like, you could see everything. What happened? Was it the way you were training, or were you just in, like, you know, like Matt was saying, but how you were in that moment? But you could literally see everything when you were out there fighting, the way that you were reacting. What clicked in your head? I mean, what was it when you went out there? Because you controlled the range beautifully, the way that you moved, the way that, I mean, you could see everything. What was going through your head? I got to know.
It's just the hard work my coaches put in. My striking coach, Sam, like, he's real big at range, holding your gap, using your gap, seeing all the strikes come, seeing the takedowns come, just using my range. He wanted me to stay on the edge of the bubble, so when a guy do come in my bubble, I can hit him. Like, that was the game plan. I just followed it.
I'm telling you, because I have to say, because when you say speak about that, because you sprawled in that one shot, it's almost like you popped that range, you hit him with the range, and you knew it was going to come underneath, and you just kind of melded with him, and it popped right back up in the way you were transitioning. You mean you listen to your coaches that well? I love this kid. We need kids like this. You listen to your coaches that well?
I believe in my coaches, so I'm gonna listen to them. They haven't told me wrong. When I don't listen, though, that's when things go bad. So I have to listen to them.
Can I ask you, your coach with the glasses? What's his name?
Jacob Bainey.
Are you living with him now? Was that in his house? Okay, yeah, I got that right. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
How does that? First of all, great chemistry. I like to watch the corner work. And I'll tell you, Jacob, calm as there's guys that get wild up, and sometimes it's with the fighter. Like with certain, you have to know your fighter. I talk about this a lot with Saif Saeed, who's a great coach. Some fighters he's yelling at, other fighters he's talking to. You have to know your fighter. Jacob was so, very calm to the point where it almost not a whisper, but just very monotone talking to you, letting you know exactly what needs to be done. And he's doing it for you. He's not doing it for the camera. I've seen both. I've seen guys give out some nice Braveheart lines and they're making sure the camera's getting the fucking angle. I know. I noticed that shit. Just that note. I'm like, who the fuck was that for? What the fuck was that for? Like, this guy, I seen him talking to you and I'm like, oh, I like this. I liked it after the first round because he was all right. Now he's going to come out a little bit more. Boom, boom, boom. And it was right here. So I don't know after that fight, I don't know if everybody's going to be looking to move in with that coach. But all I know is you guys had that shit. You have a good chemistry. How long have you been working with Jacob?
Nine years. It's been 9 years. So, like, I remember when I first got to him, like, he sat me down. He said, look, we got to slow you down because I had a lot of fights and my experience wasn't really how I probably had, like, maybe almost 10 fights in a year and a half. So he had to slow me down. He was like, look, we're gonna slow you down. He put me in a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments. So I'm used to hearing him like all the time, just like yelling out instructions. So that is easier when we get into the cage and transfer over to fighting. So I think it's just the time we just spent together and like getting to know each other over these past couple of years is just easier for me to communicate with him.
I seen the second you took away Usain's first takedown, I think this is a guy that was used to getting his way. So when you took away, because we know a failed takedown, it's fucking exhausting. You know what I mean? Right. So for you to be taking that away, he was definitely exerting more energy. And a bad sign is when they're going for takedowns and they start going to their butt for a little bit. Then it's like, oh. Now right. you're just showing me your hand. You had for that guy Usain being undefeated. I was expecting all right. And I'm not crapping on him because I don't think he fought bad. He was fighting aggressive and he was really confident. I think there's levels to this, and I think that your all the trials you've been through with everything in your career that experience with the guys you fought, it was something that he wasn't used to. So I'll tell you, man, you were in full control. And when you're grappling, let's go down memory lane. When did you first learn to fight? What were you? I read that you wanted to be a Ninja Turtle as a kid. Like, yeah, I'm pretty much a fucking Ninja Turtle. But, when did you first get involved with the martial arts? What did you first do?
Oh, wrestling. I wrestled first. Wrestling was my first martial art.
And then from there, how did we find Jens is clapping? He loves the wrestling. It came in handy when you fought BJ the first time, you fucker. Didn't it? Yes. Oh, shit. But so you did the wrestling, and then how did that transition into fighting?
Well, all right. So this is how it even started. Like, I was a fan of the sport before I became competitive in it. Growing up, my dad and my brother would go to Blockbuster. Back in the day, that's how old I am. We'll rent VHS of like old Pride videos, old UFC, like UFC 1, 2, 3, like those. And we'll sit there and watch. And at first I was like, I'm like, this is kind of interesting. Like, these dudes in the cages killing each other, right? And then, like, the more I watched it, I just grew to love it. And I would see, like, Matt Hughes, you know, Pat Miletich, all these guys, and they all wrestled just over, like, and I was watching these guys. I was like, all right, wrestling is looked like the key in this sport. And then the more I got into it, I was like, well, maybe I should learn how to grapple and strike also. So, like, I would just, like, you know, like, study other guys. Like, Hoist Gracie, my dad loves Hoist Gracie. I don't, like, he loves a small guy, even though he's a big dude, but he loves an underdog also. So, he was like, man, look at this little guy. Because I grew up, I was little. He's like, look at this little guy. He's small, just like you. And he pointed it out to me. He's like, he's choking out these big guys with his gi. And I'm like, that's pretty impressive. So, I think that was the start of everything right there.
Is your dad still around?
Yeah, my dad's still around. Yes.
What does he think of now? I mean, look at this. I mean, you're renting Blockbuster videos of these guys fighting in the rings in the cage, and now his son is on TV fighting in the UFC. What does he think about all this?
He loves it. He's eating it up. It's funny because growing up, like, we would play sports every now and again, but that wasn't the main focus in the house. Like, he wanted us to be academics. Yeah. So, like, he played sports growing up. He played basketball. My dad's 6'8". My dad's a very big guy.
6'8"?
Yeah, 6'8". Yes.
Oh, man, I could run right between his legs. Crazy, man.
But he really like stressed that, no, go to school. I don't really want you playing sports. And at first I was like, okay, whatever you say. Like, I won't be in sports. But I found wrestling and I fell in love with wrestling. So, like, that just, I was like, I'm sorry, man. I gotta do this. And it just grew from there.
Okay,
I had to do this. I have to do this because my son, right now, all I want is my son to be an academic. And I love the fact that he's an academic. And then he hit me. And so I was going to ask, what year did you start wrestling? Because seventh grade, my son comes up to me and says, I'm wrestling. I was like, wait, what? What? Wait, you're what? And it, you know, so what year did you start wrestling? And when did you know that, you know what I mean?
I started in the ninth grade, but in the eighth grade, okay. I made a decision that I wanted to wrestle. In the eighth grade, I was like, I want to wrestle. Like, that's what I want to do. Cause I was too small to play football. I was definitely too short for basketball. Like, going into the ninth grade, I was what, maybe 5'2".
Yeah.
So I wasn't playing football or basketball. So wrestling was the avenue.
Oh, well, I love it because that's it. I'm too small to be big, too big to be small. I was supposed to be a jockey, but I was too heavy to be a jockey, but too small to do anything else. And wrestling just fit. It just fit, right? And that's what I think. So when you got into high school, though, I mean, that's a tough transition, but did you know, like, did you want to take that into college when you were wrestling at that point? Like, did you get serious, not only in the scholastic side, but a lot of freestyle, Greco, a lot of, you know what I mean? Did you go all year round?
Well, I didn't know you could wrestle year round. So I had to figure stuff out on my own. Later, I'll probably say my junior year, that's when I started doing like tournaments outside. I didn't even know you can do that. I thought you only could wrestle during the season. I didn't know. Like,
okay.
So I ended up figuring stuff out a little later.
When's the first time you started throwing those hands and those kicks? When did you start getting into the Muay Thai and everything and the striking?
I'll say around 20. Walking to my first MMA gym at 20 years old. And
how'd that transition go from a grappler to striker?
It was tough at first. Just used to getting hit. Yeah. I was like, man, I've been in fights before, but you know, street fights, they don't last long, you know, 40 seconds tops. And like getting hit over and over and over, like that was the biggest hurdle I had to overcome. But after that, I was like, okay, I can.
In the very beginning, when you get mad, when they hit you and you start looking away, what am I doing? I'm not a pussy. I remember. Yeah. I remember when I made that transition myself. I go, why are they looking away? What's going on here? But it takes you a while. Longo used to have him do some jabs and be catching him on the forehead. Not like to, you know, not to get demented, but, you know, he used to be like, you know, don't be afraid of this shit. But anyway, it worked out. Hey, let me ask you. Pretty Boy, where do we get that? With the ladies? Where do we get that from?
All right. So it's a joke. So I have a buddy, Raider Judge Rodriguez, back in Texas.
Okay.
He made like flyers because we fought for Legacy when Legacy was around. So we fought on a card that night, and he made flyers for our after party. I didn't have a fight name at the time, but it was a joke going around the gym because I took like modeling pictures for a friend of mine. She was in school. So I took pictures for her, and they had all kinds of names for me. Pretty Boy just the one that stuck. So they were just like, for a whole month, they were just like, every day I walked into the gym, I had a new name. So I'm like, man, how long is this gonna happen for? So he made a flyer. He's like, check these flyers out. And I was like, who's Pretty Boy? He was like, it's you. I was like, that's not my name though. He said, well, it is now. And it's just stuck.
Hey man, I like it. Good thing you're not like an ugly dude. They'd be like, what is it, an ironic name? Now what, besides fighting, Jamal, what do you like to do, man? What do you like to do? Like, any hobbies, any movies, any series that you're into? I always like to find out what series guys are watching on. If you're streaming anything or any books.
I'm not a big TV watcher. I like YouTube. I watch stuff on YouTube every now and again. Like, I like to learn history. I like history. So like recently I've been like watching videos about like business tycoons and their history on how they started. Like,
interesting.
Milton Hershey, who else? The Vanderbilts, like all these people that like was big businessmen. And I'm like studying them and like the trials and tribulations even they had to go through. Like, I thought I had it tough, but it's like, back in the late 1800s, it was pretty tough. Like, some of these guys didn't have even formal education. They went to school to like fifth, sixth grade or something like that. So I'm like, wow, they had a lot of hurdles to overcome, and just watching them end up being millionaires and like taking over their industry, I was like, man, if they can do it, I know I can do something.
Man, there's times like I watch, speaking of like back in like that, I mean, I watched the show. It's a Yellowstone prequel. It's called 1883, about the West and like,
yeah,
this family traveling from like the trying to get to Oregon. Anyway, they're traveling throughout the West and they're fighting. They're getting, you know, the Indians and the fucking bandits and whatever. I mean, just the world, the elements. It just is so crazy, man. Like how, what like really was going down back in the day, you know? And then I'm watching 1923, and it's like it shows you how they're starting to make, like, technology's coming around. Like, look, a washing machine. It's just fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, look, there's electricity you can have in your house. I don't know. It looks like taking a time machine with these shows, but that's the shows I've been watching lately. So, Jamal. Who, before we let you go, man, it's been great having you on, dude. You're a pleasure.
Thank you.
When do we want to get? I know you said something like you wanted to fight up to, would you say up to four times? Is this you saying that, or am I making that up? You said you want to fight a bunch?
I want to fight as much as possible. I have to fight four times this year, I'll fight four times this year. I need to get back in there. I saw a little rust on me from sitting, you know.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, because the finish was there. The finish was there. I just should have pushed it a little harder. But yeah, just as much competition as I can get. Actually, I'm planning on doing a jiu-jitsu tournament next week. So,
man, don't get hurt, dude. Watch out for the flying scissor leg locks and shit.
Yeah, I know. I need to be careful, but I just need to be more competitive this year. I can't sit too long.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Aljo would do that. Look at him now. Aljo would do it. He had a wrestling match with one of the number one guys, and I think he lost by like 2 points or something. Aljo did that when he was either the champ or almost the champ or something. He's fucking crazy. But it's good. It's better than eating Cheetos on the couch being like, oh, who do I have next? You just got the machine going.
Right.
Hey, man, Jamal. Hey, listen, man. Congrats to you. Congrats to your coach, Jacob. You guys got a great thing going on. I mean, I enjoy. When I found out you were coming on, I was very happy because I enjoyed that fight. And it's nice to shock people, man, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
I'm sure you can shock your coach. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh.
Anything else, Jamal? Do you have anything to plug, brother?
No, I have nothing to plug. It's just an honor to be able to talk to legends. Like,
this ain't the last time.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, man, I'm in the UFC. I'm around all these people. Like, my dreams came true. Like, everything I ever dreamt came true. And it's just amazing. Like, this is an honor to be here talking to both of you today.
Nah, dude, you're a humble guy, man. Yeah, stay like so that cool. When you're the champ, it. Dude. I love it, man. Me too, man. 100%. Most guys are like, yeah, it's most guys. I mean, the guys in the sport, and I'm sure you know now, Jamal, by being around it, most guys are good guys, don't you think, in the game?
Yeah.
They find that. But well, they're across the world. But, you know, when you're a fighter, you're a fighter. You kind of respect that. You know, right. Gentleman that you fought, this was a wake-up call for him, for Hussein. But I want to see how he comes back.
Yeah.
Because he came back with fire and he came in there. You know, this is his first loss, but he definitely has a lot of potential. If he's able to control his weapons, the control of what you showed in your fight, he could be up there too, you know?
Yeah, I believe that also. Like, I told him after the fight, I was like, man, you're very talented. Like, even before going into this fight, I heard whispers about how talented this guy was. I was like, okay, he can do it too. Like, he just needs the right direction, I guess, maybe. I'm not sure how his situation is or anything, but, like, I feel like he's a pretty good fighter also.
Let me ask you something about a great fighter. I'm reading right here that you beat Sanhagen, Corey Sanhagen, back in the LFA. Is that true?
Yes.
Make sure my producer's getting his shit straight. Oh, now, man. How did that fight go?
Well, it was a decision fight. I won by decision. I believe they brought me up there to lose because I fought him in Colorado. I fought him on his own turf, and I ended up getting the decision. So,
hey, man. Now, when you've seen him in the UFC and doing what he's doing, how long ago was that fight?
Maybe 6 years ago, I think.
All right. So when you seen him doing what he's doing, were you like, oh, I'm right on your tails? I'm on your heels. I'm gonna get you. Were you looking at him in there, and you had to win over him? What did tell you? Did that make you really confirm that you were on that level?
No, not really. Because even going into that fight, fighting him, I didn't know much about him. Like, I really didn't know much about him until like the week before I got there, because I had to acclimate. And I would go around gyms in Colorado and tell them who I was fighting. And everybody was like, oh, wow, you fighting him? I was like, nobody wants to fight him. Is he like the boogeyman around here? And it was like, yeah, he is the boogeyman around here. And I was like, oh, well.
Oh, well, right. I love it.
Well, listen, man, you're good at, you know, upsetting the odd makers. I'll tell you that much. So that's fucking great, man. Jamal, I can't wait to have you back on. You got to meet my friend Jimmy. I love that you're here with Jens. But Jimmy's going to love to meet you also. So when you got a next fight, come back on and hang out with us again.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Jamal. Great job, buddy.
Hey, Jamal, right. Have a good one. Very nice to meet you. Right. If I could, just really quick, just really fast, keep chasing that passion, Jamal. I love listening to you. I'm such a fan of I'm a fan of that. And I remember just at the end of that fight, you were just about to submit him. I love everything about you. I'm so happy I got to meet you. Just keep chasing that passion, even if it's in the business world, but that passion in your head and the way that smile on your face, keep it up, man, because it's showing. You look incredible out there. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Take care, Jamal.
Thank you. You guys have a nice day.
Yeah, brother.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental Tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Jens, you're so positive, Jens.
Everybody I love that kid. How could that? Yeah, it was awesome.
He's a nice kid. What a nice kid.
Oh, my Lord. I was stuck. Listen, I was never, I didn't mean to jump in with so many questions, but I had, I had my own questions. I was like, I got to dive in and I got to know. Cause I just, when you see someone like that, you just, man, what a man. Oh, that's fun.
That was great. That was great. And dude, I'm a fucking idiot. I should have brought this up because the guy's from my team. He spends a ton of time with Longo. I spent time with him also. He's a nice kid. Nazim. So I pronounce it Sadikov. I try to pronounce his name. Yeah. Correct. But I always just call him Nas. Everybody calls him Nas at Cerro Longo. At Longo as in at my school. So Nazim was like the headlining prelim.
Yeah.
You know, and he took out Evan Elder and, Dr. Stoppage it was a hell of a fight.
Oh,
I don't know who got. Look, guys, who got fight of the night? Was it? Let me know who got fight of the night.
I'll look at it later on. I'll find out who it did. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, he did get fight of the night. Good.
Was it these guys?
So Nazim got it. Nazim okay. Sadikov. Again, we call him Nas by me. He got fight of the night. Good for him. Good. And again,
what a cut.
I'm very happy for him. So that was his debut, and he did phenomenal. So I just wanted to mention that. Now look. Listen, we've been talking for an hour. We're going to go soon. But we have to talk about a few of these fights. Let's start with the big one. Erin Blanchfield versus Jessica Andrade. Jessica Andrade, former champion. Wait, would she beat Rose? She was the champ, right?
She won the belt. It was the spike. Remember the spike to the head?
Yeah, but that's how she won the belt.
How she won the belt.
Off of Thug Rose going for a Kimura. And Thug Rose, she went and she got that fight back. She ended up getting a W after that with her, you know?
Yeah, but that was a moment. And she just, I don't know if I like this 25-pound Andrade, but I do like this young Blanchfield. When we were breaking down the fights on Friday, you know, because we always watch the fights of fighters fighting and Saturday's fights, Blanchfield was powerhouse. But the thing I was excited to see was both of them go forward. They both go forward the entire time, and you knew it was going to be a train crash and a train wreck. And it was very cool to see Blanchfield, man, 23 years old, to do the way she just, man, like a boss.
And what about her striking? Everybody's worried about her jiu-jitsu. She did not, she was in the danger zone striking. And landing,
they never backed up
intelligently, striking intelligently. And then when it was time, she went for a shot, even though it was not successful. She went, and then finally she got a beautiful inside leg trip, which I'm a big fan of. It hit the floor, she
know she was that good. That was
this
amazing.
Is the first girl in a while that we could say, hey, man, I see. I mean, she could make this happen. She could, there's a legit threat to Valentina Shevchenko. There's a legit.
That's saying a lot.
Because Valentina, she's there's no holes in her game.
Man.
She's very good striking, very good wrestling, very good jiu-jitsu. But Erin has an advantage in the jiu-jitsu, there's levels. I'm sure if they rolled, I'm going to say Erin's going to tap her. The way Erin uses her Brazilian jiu-jitsu in fighting is brilliant. She knows the way she distributes her weight, the way she it's almost like old, just straight up old school. Now, I'm not saying it's old techniques, but just now I'm not saying she's not up on the latest techniques, but I'm saying take someone down, get a dominant position and fucking finish them. I cannot say enough about this girl. She finished look at the submission with what she did with the elbow up guillotine with J Aldridge.
And then
Molly McCann, she got that Kimura. She's not only showing beautiful jiu-jitsu, and now she's got the rear naked choke. She's showing a display of a wide array of skills in jiu-jitsu. I mean, there's an arm lock, there's a Kimura, there's an elbow up guillotine, and this is all with tiny little mistakes that their opponents are making. The fight with Aldridge is fighting excellent.
Yeah,
she was pretty excellent. She looked her neck out 1 second and she was done with an elbow up. So, and Erin Blanchfield, 23, so well-rounded. What she did to Jessica Andrade was awesome. I mean, I I can't say enough. I'm sorry.
I know to that with her, and the same thing with fighting Shevchenko is the one thing she has above, I think right now going for her, she's just got that youngster mentality. There's no hesitation. And when you start building that kind of confidence, when you're that young, you know what I mean? You have no hesitation because you haven't seen, you haven't bumped into, you haven't felt those roadblocks. You haven't felt those bumps. So, you know what I mean? Those struggles in like per se in the fight, she doesn't hesitate. And like you said, when she took down Andrade, it was over. It was a lock. When she snapped up that neck really quick of Aldridge, it was a lock quick. She doesn't hesitate. So that's the one thing she has, that youngster. She's just got that youngster mentality, that boldness, that there's no hesitation in her game.
So again, I can't wait to see what's next with her. Man, I mean, she's just looking, she's 5-0 in the UFC. I mean, oh, she's so, so awesome. I can't wait to see what's next. Congrats to her. Jessica Andrade, it should be noted that she took this on short notice. Oh. And
at 25, heavier.
She might be a little bit undersized too for this division, you know. Jordan Wright versus Zach, oh, how do you pronounce that? Pauga?
Pauga.
Pauga. You know, congrats to Zach. You know, I think Zach did good. Jordan, sometimes when you're in there in the moment, you might be doing things and it's kind of like surreal. Like you don't realize it. Like you're watching yourself like in there. Like, and I feel like it was weird. Like part of me is like, dude, why are you smiling? Like, what's going on here? Like, you shouldn't be smiling. Like you, sometimes you can see, you can't help but smile, but he kept on smiling and he's getting hit with elbows and he's getting, and things aren't going well. And I don't know. I think there was a mental, not break. He had a hard time finding his footing in this fight. He was a step behind the whole fight. And
Pauga did a good job, though, keeping his head constantly in that pocket, keeping that underhook, keeping the head constantly. You can see he's always driving Jordan's head away from him. Constantly, man, he was frustrated. Jordan reminded me of a black belt in jiu-jitsu on his back, knowing that he can't get hurt, but he's not doing anything aggressively. You know what I mean? Sometimes that can be the demise of a really good black belt in jiu-jitsu because they're so good on the bottom. To like, I know you're trying to bounce around, little honey bear, but you're not going to get me. And it just kind of reacts, but they end up realizing that they're losing the fight. And that seemed kind of what happened with Jordan. He was pushed up against the fence, didn't feel like fighting too hard. And he's like, but I'm not getting hurt. You're catching me with a couple of elbows. And he was just getting frustrated. But he's like, I'm good where I'm at, but you're losing the fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so something had to change there, and it didn't. So, Zach, good job, Zach. I thought he fought very intelligently. Very intelligent. Put that clinch work up against the cage. Another unanimous decision for Jamal Pogas. You know, I mean, listen, unanimous decision. I thought he fought very well. And Josh had a hard time in there as well.
Josh was kind of struggling. The takedown, I think Pogas, the takedown stuff made Josh struggle. If he stepped in too much, a takedown was coming. Pogues had a vicious jab, and it just kind of seemed slow. But it's only because, and I bring up the fight before that.
Yeah.
I do not forgive William Knight. I don't forgive you. You made every fight after that salty. I don't know what was wrong with him, but I think he only threw 8 punches, like 8 or 9 punches the entire time.
Now, this is the thing with this William Knight. And Marcin Prashino, am I saying that correct? Prashino? I think so. Marcin, you know, I love the way he kept working that leg.
Yeah.
He stayed on that leg all day long.
Yeah, he did.
William Knight, this is what I'll say about William Knight, and they could find this somewhere if you want to look for it on his Instagram or something. I think he was doing a live thing on Instagram afterwards talking about it. And he said how everybody was, when he was an undefeated fighter into the UFC, when he was taking out these guys and knocking out that one, and people were on the train. And he admitted, he goes, look, I froze in it. He says it. He goes, I froze up. He goes, I didn't pull the trigger. And he's owning up to it. And he's just talking about, like, and he's like, look, this is basically showing me all the people that are really behind me. He's not making excuses like, oh, this happened and I froze. He's taking it like a man. So he froze up. He's admitting he froze up. I thought that Marcin did everything correctly as far as keep working that leg, pinpointing it. William never got going, and it was downright one of the worst fights, probably. It's a frustrating fight. It's one of those fights where it's like, all right, This guy's in there looking like a total tank, but yet he's not throwing any punches. Like you said, I think he threw a total of 8.
Yeah, he was just watching. And Pacno did a good job of obviously going and throwing the kick, getting out of the way, in and out. And it's frustrating. You know how that is. You don't want to overextend the shot and the guy's already in and he's already gone. And you're like, all right, I'll wait till the next time I catch you. And you just never get off and you end up freezing. But that's what I'm saying. And it drove me nuts because just as commentating and watching the fight, I was like, you're just standing there, and it was bad. Timidity. It's one of those times where timidity almost should have been called. If there was ever a timidity call, that could have been one of them. You know what I mean? Maybe it would have snapped him out of it because he just weren't moving, you know?
Oh, 100%. No, I agree with that. So that was very frustrating. And I hope he gets back on the horse.
Yeah, you got to find that momentum somewhere.
Congrats to Morris. And excuse me, to start off the fight,
oof.
Sorry, I'm coughing. To start off the night, Jim Miller versus Alexander Hernandez. Now, look, Jim Miller, you can't help the root folks. This guy's been around forever. I forgot how many fights he has in the UFC. Our producer will look it up now, but I believe it's a record. He's got like 40-something fights in the UFC. It's crazy. And he shows that he's like, man, dude, that guy, I don't think he should retire yet. The guy looked fucking awesome.
That's insanity.
That is insanity. That's fucking crazy. That's wild. And I'll tell you, his skills. I mean, Alexander Hernandez, he got the decision, unanimous. It's a just decision. But Jim Miller was in the fight. Alexander Hernandez, I'm upset for Jim because Jim's been around and kind of always rooting for him. He's an East Coast guy. I know him. And he's a hard-working, blue-collar type guy. But I am very happy for Alexander the Great Hernandez, because this is a kid with a ton of talent that showed signs, no pun intended, of greatness.
Yeah.
But then started, you know, having some hiccups, started getting a couple of losses in a row. Again, his fight with Billy Quarantino, great fight, you know. But he ended up getting taken out in the end. What round was that? He got taken out in. Oh, the second round. Up until then, competitive fight. Hinato Moicano. Sorry, I like to sing his name.
Moicano wants money.
Moicano. Yeah. But he subbed him. So it's like this. I remember thinking to myself, like, yo, this guy is just too good to be losing this kid. Why is he losing when he's just so talented? But this fight, he looked very measured. It looked like him and his coach, Mark Montoya, who is a great coach in himself. I pronounced his name correct, right, Mark? Yeah. He's a quiet coach, but a very good coach. And, you know, it looked like it's starting to click and he deserved that victory. And I think he might even said this. He might not have, because I get confused. But I think he's kind of his own worst enemy in there. I think he's starting to get the mental side straight, because he's got all the physical ability to just go far. He shouldn't be 6-5 in the UFC.
I think he broke that. You know how it is when it piles. The first loss leads, and then that second one, that really dumps a lot of weight on you. And if you get that third, then it's – so I'm glad he got his way out of that. My biggest question is, is Jim Miller going to make it to 300? You know, I know that's what he wants to do. He wants to fight UFC 300. And, you know, I think what would that – he would have done all of them. Wouldn't he have done 100, 200, and 300 or something like that? So even with that fight there, he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked good. So does he have enough in the tank to make it to 300, you know?
Hey, man, I thought you meant 300 fights in there. I go, oh, my God. No. The way he's going.
He wants to do UFC 300, I think. I don't know if that's what he wants it to be, his last fight. But I believe if I'm correct, he fought in UFC 100. I believe he's in 200. And this would be fighting UFC 300 if I'm – something like that. But I think that's about it. But I know he wants to fight in UFC 300.
Well, let me tell you something.
He can make it up there. That'd be pretty impressive.
Hey, let me tell you that. I'm super impressed with Jim Miller. But congrats to Alexander. Hey, let me tell you, Jens, I think we're good. We went over an hour. I mean, we can do this all fucking day, me and you.
Yeah, you and I. We got to do like this again. I love rapping with you. You just say the word.
Jens, I love hanging out with you.
I love your little bird. And I know your bird's got to do what he's got to do. So I appreciate that I can be the sub. I love this.
And did you ever get into the VR yet or no?
My son is up there. I can hear him VRing right now. I'm stuck in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I'm all over Call of Duty right now. I got to get into the VR, but I'm just so happy at my PC. I built this new machine. I just can't help it. You know what I mean? But I got to get it. I'll VR at some point.
And so, and like, look, before we give you a plugs on where they can watch you on Twitch and stuff like that, what do you got coming on in the, what do you got going on in the immediate future, Jens? I mean, you got your channel. Let's plug your channel now. Let's do it.
Twitch.tv/UFC. So I just run the UFC stream on Twitch. We start at 6 p.m. Eastern Monday. And then Tuesday, like I said, we do Tough Tuesday, which we're watching the Ultimate Fighter. We just finished up season 8. So we'll start season 9 tomorrow, Tough on Tuesday, 6:30. If it's a pay-per-view, we watch Undercard Fights of Fighters Fighting on Wednesday. Friday, we watch Main Card Fights of Fighters Fighting and Saturday's Fight. Saturday, I just do a watch-along. And if it's a pay-per-view, I usually have guests. I'm saying it right now. I know that there's a guest that I do want everybody out there. It's my man right here, Mr. Sarah. So hopefully we can get Sarah to come over to my side of the tracks. The weather's nice.
Hey,
it's pretty good. We get him over there and we can get him to do a watch along with old me.
I would love to do that. I don't want to give nothing away, but we've been in talks to make this happen. People did reach out to me. So we're going to make that happen. I'm going to be in Marab's corner in, March 11th? His fight? March 11th, I believe it is. And that's in Vegas. So, you know, I don't travel much. But then after that, the week after that, literally.
You're going to have to wait till I get back. I'm going to Thailand. I'll be out of here March 7th. I'm taking my first vacation.
Is that where your wife's family's from?
Yes. They're from Laos. And they're from Laos, but they were over there. We're going to go to Thailand and then try to go over there, which ironic. My father just stepped up and he showed up here. So now I've got my pops is here from Laos. I'm like, wait a minute. We was going that direction and you're going to come here. But so I still get to go over there I've never been. So I'm excited. My wife's going to get to show me around. And I mean, she's been to the U.S. She moved here when they were 4 years old. So I'm excited to go back. The whole family's going to go. The UFC, you know, my UFC mod 2, the boss said, you got to take it. I'm like, I don't want to leave the stream. I don't want to leave. Like, you got to go on vacation. I'm like, I don't want to go. But my wife's like, we're going. So we're going. So I get to see Thailand. I'm excited.
Family first, dude. And man, that's like a celebration for your.
And then the Hall of Fame jumped in. So that now this is going to be celebratory. That's why I'm all right. Because I got this, I got inducted, it's like, okay, I'll go do
that's
this.
That's so great, man. I'll be doing a looking for a fight in Boston, and I'll be going to Calvin Cater's promotion over there with Damon. I want to give a shout out to an old friend that you might know him as well, George St. Pierre. George, I don't talk to him often, but he actually got in touch with me recently, and he was offering. It was like he's doing some kind of like a autograph signing Comic Con type MMA thing in Manchester, and he invited me to be a part of it. And he sent me, he goes, hey, can I have your information to give to you? Of whoever's representing you. I go, hey, you know who's representing me?
Nah, man.
That's it. Hey, it's just me, gents. I go, George, here's my number. Here's my cell. Use it for yourself. Use it for whoever. So these people got in touch with me, and they're talking about getting me out to Manchester for some kind of signing. I don't know if I'm doing it yet. I'm not a big traveler, but we're talking about it. But I just thought that was
that's very cool.
Very kind of an old friend.
Yeah.
Be like, look, man, thinking of Matt to get him in on this. So that's kind of nice, man.
I like that.
I really like George, you know? Yep. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. That was nice, George. And I might want to do it just to travel over there, hang out with George and talk Star Wars. Because last time I was with George, we started geeking out about the Star Wars whole universe and series. I'm a bit of a nerd, Jens.
I love it. I'm a gamer, so I build PCs on the side. So,
Jens, listen, man, they know where to find you on Twitch. I'm happy about that. We're going to do this again soon, my friend.
You name it. Anytime. All right? Anytime for you. You know that. Much love as always, my brother.
All the favor, Jens Palmer.
Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, partner. Be good.
Goodbye, everyone.
We're
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.